bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Brewers Outlet, NIL Game Changers, Sunbury Motor Company, and Purdy Insurance. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome back on this Friday, heading into the big Final Four weekend that starts tonight in Cleveland. Talk about that in a moment. This half hour of the show brought to you in part by NIL Game Changers, the ultimate destination for name, image, and likeness opportunities. I don't care whether it's an individual, athlete, business, whatever. They can help you out. It is NILGameChangers.org. Get in touch with them today and begin your journey. And we're in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Women's Final Four is tonight in Cleveland. All 19,000 seats have been sold. There's premium price on tickets. UConn, Iowa tonight. And also NC State against South Carolina. It's amazing how you can be undefeated, unscathed, and fly so far under the radar, and that is South Carolina. Interesting. See how the weekend plays out. The men's Final Four, look at the prices of the tickets for the women's. Like, okay, there's also 64,000 seats. Okay. It's kind of a big place. All right. UConn will be in action against Alabama, NC State against Purdue. That is tomorrow. All right, and I'm speaking in Jacksonville tonight, and then tomorrow I'm speaking in Daytona, but it is a luncheon tomorrow in Daytona. Not only that, it's at the Churn House on Marina Lane. It's like, I don't like that. It's pretty good. All right, so I'll have plenty of time to get back and watch Final Fours and things like that at the hotel. But time now to turn our attention to Penn State, and time to bring in the seer of all seers, a person that will set us straight, put us on the right path, Nate Bauer on 3.com, Blue White Illustrated. Sir, welcome.
Oh, stop it. You're perfect. You know it.
Well, I will start, by the way, sir, since it's a non-golf day, with some basketball. Penn State did get a commitment on a transfer, which, by the way, if you want to talk to Dr. Girardi about him, he will speak volumes about him. He saw him play a lot in high school, so that's why I got a pretty good handle on this guy. And I'm telling you, you should turn that direction. I think it'll help you out, especially with some of the people that just have no idea what they're talking about. All right. I forgot you deal with them every day.
I'm included with those people.
But Dick seen him play a lot. Not a little, a lot. But, you know, what does, you know, at least out of the gate, tell you about the direction they're going with some of this, and how difficult is the transfer cycle to report on, because not everybody is very forthcoming once they give their initial list. That way they're playing people off everybody.
You brought it all up at once. I mean, it's where do I start? Let's start with the latter half there. The transfer portal reporting is going to be difficult. And I don't think I quite grasp the misdirection that's involved. I don't know. I mean, I'm sure you heard things last year. I felt like last year was fairly straightforward to report on. You know, I think that people kind of knew what everybody else was doing in terms of visits, right? So a couple of things. One thing that's super interesting to me, and that has been reflected over the last week or two, is people are getting right. So when guys go into the portal, they are getting a flood of attention, right? And so you see these tweets that basically are, you know, from national reporters basically saying, oh, you know, player X has entered the transfer portal and has heard from, and then there's a list of 30 schools, right?
Yep.
And so what's happening is players are hearing from 30 schools on the first day. They're hearing from 30 more schools on the second day. And then they're hearing from very few schools after that. And so what's actually happening is players are hearing initially because it's kind of that recruiting theme of you want to be in first, you want to be in early. But then once teams go back and start to do their homework and get a grasp and a grip on who these guys actually are, you know, they see that one of three things, right? They either don't fit what you're actually trying to do. You know, the NIL element is too high, right? It's just not going to fit. It's not going to work because what they're asking for in the transfer portal is too much. And I'm forgetting the third, but those two elements on the front side are making things very, very challenging, you know, for teams to be able to actually identify and bring in the players that they want. So what I'm watching as a reporter this transfer cycle is who's visiting, right? Who's actually going to these schools? Because most of these commitments aren't happening without visits. These guys are going to come to campus. Kachi, you know, was one of those guys. He was at Penn State last week and ended up committing on the last day of his visit. So that's some of what I'm watching here in the transfer portal.
I am aware. All right. I'll leave it at that. Okay.
Yeah.
So, next up, okay, because this is also looking at a positional balance. Based on what Penn State lost in the transfer portal, what do you, in terms of positional balance, what might they need during this cycle?
Yeah, so this is the first part of your question that I didn't answer. They need size desperately. Yeah. There's really no, not like there's any mystery to this, right? And so I think that what Kachi brings is, and this is where it's going to be interesting to see how they fill out the rest of these scholarships, right? They've got four to play with. Now they have three with his commitment, at present anyway. They only have one true power forward center, right? Four or five, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't know about you. Like, I'm not calling Zach Hicks a four. I'm not calling Puff Johnson a four. Those guys don't play like that. That's not who they are. So knowing that, understanding that, I'm actually just writing about it right now. Like, Penn State finished minus 5.2 in rebound. Like, they were right. Dead last in rebounding against Big Ten competition.
I may have noticed.
So they guess. What's that?
I said I may have noticed.
Yeah, you may have noticed. Yeah, I mean, it was a thing. And Rose was honest about it. Mike Rose was honest about it. He was like, look, this is, some of this goes beyond what you're trying to do, right? Like, players can try hard. Like, you know, I think Puff Johnson, when he had minutes, was trying hard to get rebounds. Zach Hicks was trying hard to get rebounds. But sometimes you're limited athletically and in size differential that you just can't do anything about. Kachi helps fix that. He gives them a true four. He gives them a four that's going to be a power forward. And where I felt on the front end he was going to be more of a developmental piece who might be in line for, you know, he averaged 10 minutes at Xavier. He bumped that up down the stretch to maybe 15, 20 minutes a game. I think he's going to be a 20-minute-a-game guy for Penn State next season with ample room for growth. But he would have been a true difference maker in terms of that rebounding element that Penn State just, and Rhodes specifically, realized and understood deeply. You can't exist like this. You cannot have a team that doesn't have a four who can't gobble up some of those rebounds that they needed.
Well, that's one of the reasons why. Look, you go through the league and you learn early. You need centers all you want, right? But in this is a league where if you have bigger wings, it really helps. And
yep.
I don't think there are some people that realize that. But I will leave that to you to talk about. But that's just the reality of the league if you're actually, like, really paying attention to it and actually know basketball.
Yep. No, you have to. You have to have that size. You have to have that physicality, right? It's not just you can be 6'7", 6'8", and weigh 220 pounds and not gravitate toward contact.
That's
and
right.
Physicality.
That's right.
You cannot be afraid of that. And again, there is a place for some of that play and for some of those guys to excel. They have opportunities, but you also need somebody that can be a dog, right? I mean, I don't know who first came up and coined junkyard dog, but like this kid fits that. You do think that for Mike Rhodes' teams and the identity that he brings and the characteristics and the culture that he wants to have at Penn State, this. Like, I don't want to set the wrong expectations in terms of what Kachi can do right off the bat. I think that he does need room for development and
sure.
grow. But he, like, high motor, right? He's going to be a dog. He's going to be willing and enthusiastic about bringing that element to the floor for Penn State. And they desperately, desperately needed it this past season and just didn't have it.
Yeah. All right, and it's just the beginning. We'll see what else they want to do because they still, I believe, have four spots to fill, something like that. And, of course, you know, and then there's the recruiting part of it, and we'll see how the recruiting class plays out with this group as well along the way. Not just what has it meant, the guys that stayed, the guys that they kept, because now they're going to get a full year with Greg Golden and the strength and conditioning program. They understand Mike's system more. What does that mean moving forward?
Yeah, no question. You know, look, I think that certainly Puff Johnson announced that last week that he was coming back, and that's huge. I just, you know, to be clear that to anyone listening, right, Ace Baldwin is a question. I think that if I'm ballparking in my honest assessment, he is very likely to come back to Penn State for another season, but right, these guys are bonus years, and all of those guys, it doesn't matter whether you're talking football or basketball, they all have to decide whether or not they still want to be a college student, right? Once they're 22, 23 years old, yeah. Sometimes that becomes challenging. So Ace is still out there, and we'll see what happens with him. But yeah, you know, Puff Johnson, Zach Hicks, Nick Kern coming back. Those are big. Those are all big. DeMarco Dunn expected back. You know, to have had the season that they had this year with some of the holes in the lineup that they had, if you can cement and keep as much of that core together as you can, and all of those guys that I just mentioned had significant roles. They may have had roller coaster seasons in a lot of ways, but if you can keep those guys and build on the things that they did well and try to improve on some of their vulnerabilities, some of their weaknesses, yeah, I think it's a great opportunity for Penn State to establish some continuity, right? And you knew this, and everybody knew this. It is one thing to talk about, hey, you know, 10 new guys into the program over 59 days. And that was an impressive feat to bring those guys in. But now this program has an opportunity to take a breath and be judicious and purposeful, right? You're not just filling bodies. You know what your weaknesses are. You know what the returning strengths are. How do you complement them? How do you build a team that is an actual team, not just a collection of pieces? And I give them a ton of credit for what they were able to do this year, but I do think my perception of what they can do next year and beyond is optimistic, given the opportunity to actually bring those pieces in through the transfer portal. They have to do it. They have to actually bring those pieces in. And NIL and how big that war chest is going to play a big part in what they're able to bring in. But it's out there. There are 1,000 players plus in the transfer portal right now. The opportunity to be selective and bring some guys in that they feel like fit the mold, yeah, it bodes well.
You asked me an interesting question at practice the other day. It was the one after you said you're quitting, right? No. And you said, you know, what's the sense of the vibe? Well, you talk to a lot of fans about football.
I do.
Right? So, you know, now look, it's a segment. It's not a big segment, but it's a segment out there, and they're vocal. So what's, you know, what's the vibe that you have right now with the spring practice?
Yeah, I think it's interesting, and I'm not. I always get caught up with what's the vocal minority, right? And what is the broader sentiment? And to me, I do see after the last year, you know, a sense of disillusionment, I would say, right? Even among fans, like among people who do have optimism, who do bring a sense of hope to how they perceive the next season. But I do think that Penn State football is in a great rut, right? I think that's how I perceive it, is, hey, they have been very good. James Franklin has demonstrated time and time, like nobody is doubting that the direction and leadership of the Penn State football program can deliver 10, 11 wins a season. And that is very good. It is very, very good. But the one thing that everybody wants is excellent. They want beyond very good. They want to get over the top. And I do think that there is a validity to the sense that against Ohio State and Michigan specifically, Ole Miss, we can have a debate about, but that was not the same Penn State team that took the field that day.
No.
Doesn't matter, though. Ohio State and Michigan are the reason that they were in that game in the first place, and they didn't play or perform really to the level that made it feel competitive. Those weren't close games, mm-hmm. ultimately. Right, Penn State needs to score more points. Bottom line, they got to have a better offense. They got to be more explosive. They have to be more potent offensively. And so that sense of disillusionment, I think, is riding on, hey, what has changed? Right, Andy Kotelnicki came into Penn State's offense this year, but Drew Allard needs to be better than he was in those games. The receivers are mostly the same faces. They brought in Julian Fleming. For sure. But you've got a lot of the same pieces that you are asking to deliver where they weren't able to and really didn't come close to being able to last season. So it sets up a weird vibe this offseason of, you hope that Penn State can get it over the top, but do fans expect that with James Franklin, with this program right now? I would say no. And it's a very curious place for the program to be, in my opinion, because they have demonstrated that you can get to this level, and the more shots that you get at it, you will have opportunities to get over the top. But they have to go out and do it, and now you're at a point where it's 7 months away until they get that next chance.
Right, because yeah, they've been in the top 5% since 2016. The problem is the playoffs include the top 3%. And that's right. And now we'll see what happens now with it going to 9%, what it means. Nate, always a pleasure. Thanks so much for the brilliance, the insight, how well it was articulated, everything that makes you you.
Oh, stop it. I'm thrilled to be here. Thanks for having me. As always, I'll see you at practice tomorrow.
Absolutely. Looking forward to it. Nate Power on 3.com, Blue, White, Illustrated, joining us on the show. Final half hour, we're going to get some impressions on Penn State football practice from Mike Poorman, statecollege.com. He will join us final half hour of the show as we head into the weekend. Team did practice last night, by the way, and they are scheduled to do more tomorrow. I don't know if they can get into the stadium yet. I'm not so sure they can get in the stadium yet. It rained so much this week. I know the field's been covered and so forth, but they haven't gotten to the stadium once yet during the course of the spring. Interesting. This half hour of the show has been brought to you by NIL Game Changers.
the ultimate destination for name, image, and likeness opportunities, individual, athlete, business. Go to NILGameChangers.org to start your journey. And we're in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
There's something to be said about a sale with a handshake. A service technician who really knows what he's doing. They can explain it in English what the problem is. There's nothing better than having that friend you could trust in the area. That's Sunbury Motors, where you get selection, knowledgeable salespeople, and prices that fit your budget, and more important, that friend you can trust. Welcome to Sunbury Motors, Kia, Ford, and Hyundai. You could shop other dealers and compare prices, but at Sunbury Motors, you get their lowest price promise. They research the current used vehicle market and guarantee their used car prices are the lowest. If you find a lower price, Sunbury Motors will beat it. Three dealers all in one. See their full new and pre-owned inventory at sunburymotors.com. Pick out a vehicle you like and schedule your test drive online. Follow them on Facebook. Sunbury Motors Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
You want a unique way to display your brand. You need a team of seasoned experts to work with. You want to reach customers who buy. You want NIL Game Changers, a versatile consulting agency powered by former student athletes and coaches who work as NIL sports agents. NIL Game Changers will help you build powerful relationships with customers through compelling stories, with student athlete influencers as your leading edge. Finally, we'll equip you with the right media to drive your success home. NILGameChangers.org, building meaningful relationships with your customers.
The best get-togethers start with a trip to the beverage supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury. Why? Because Brewers Outlet has not only a great selection of beer, including imports and microbrews, but also a lot more. Brewers Outlet has water, soda, they roast their peanuts every day, and you can't forget about stopping by the pickle bar. Look for great deals on wine coolers and all your favorite snacks. Before you enjoy those special times with family and friends, make your visit first to the beverage supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury.
Hi, this is Season. For over 100 years, the Purdy Insurance Agency has been protecting families and businesses of the greater Susquehanna Valley and beyond. With the experience of our trained and knowledgeable staff, you can rest assured that your needs will be evaluated and met by some of the industry's best representatives. No matter what your insurance needs are, call Purdy Insurance today at 570-286-5855. Visit our website at purdyinsurance.com or check us out on Facebook to see what we can do for you.
Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, NIL Game Changers, and Sunbury Motor Company. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Final half hour on this Friday brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews, the best selection of beer anywhere. Wine coolers, water, soft drinks, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. Six great flavors of slushies. Pickle bar led by the personal favorites, the barrels and the dills, indeed second to none. Final four games tonight. Final four games tomorrow. National championship game Sunday. National championship game Monday. Stock up for the weekend. Brewers Outlet. In fact, go over there now. You can put the show on in the car, 1070. Right? It's all at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. And we're in the Sunbury Motors studio, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. All right, let's bring in another outstanding reporter covering Penn State football. That is Mike Poorman, statecollege.com. Mike, what a pleasure. Great to have you back.
It's great to be with you, Steve. I was thinking of you this morning, and you folks, I'm sure they know this, but not only a broadcaster, you're a legendary professor. You've been teaching since 2003.
Yeah. I'm not legendary there, but I've been doing it since 2003, yes. And it's been good. It's been good. Kids are great. You know, you've worked with them a long time. And you've seen a lot of really great, dedicated students, I'm sure, in your class over time.
Sure. But you've had hundreds and hundreds of students. That's pretty amazing.
Yeah, that's a lot. And it's I appreciate it. Thank you very much. So you've had an opportunity to get, obviously, to practice. You get those brief windows of two or three periods along the way. And then you get an opportunity to talk to people afterward. What have you learned over the last couple of weeks?
Great question. And it's interesting that I just brought up. It wasn't intentional about teaching. I love the teaching style of Andy Kotelnicki. He is everywhere, and he's not just yelling instructions or criticizing. He's hands-on teaching. He's involved on the drills. He pulls kids aside. He pulls kids on defense aside sometimes. I love his energy. I love him as a teacher. I love him as a glue guy, positive glue guy with that offense. That's one of my biggest takeaways. He's a great teacher.
Well, and there's the opportunity because by having Danny O'Brien there as a GA, Andy doesn't have to be just a position coach to go with being the coordinator. He can float from drill to drill like you talked about, and it gives him that opportunity to teach various positions.
Yeah, no, that's a great point. That's a real value added. I mean, you know, Danny may have the GA title, but he also has a quarterback coach title, so he can be literally hands-on with those guys. That's a takeaway. The other takeaway, it's been interesting. We had Julian Fleming, and you know these guys well. Julian Fleming last night, Devon Ellis last week. There's some really neat older players who are super mature who are going to have to. Tyler Warren's another one. We haven't gotten Dom DeLuca yet. But there's some real mature, you know, fourth, fifth, sixth year guys who are really going to be the glue guys in providing direction, leadership, and then ultimately identity to this team since you are looking at three new coordinators.
So let's get into Julian Fleming for a moment. This is probably the first time you've really had an extended chance to hear him talk. What struck you about what he talked about and what struck you about what he thought about his teammates?
Great question. You know, I went in February, I think it was, of 19, to the PA Mr. Football Banquet down in Harrisburg. Mm-hmm. And Julian was one of the award winners, and so was Daquan Hardy. That's how long ago it was, and James Franklin was a speaker. But I was lucky. I got like 15 minutes with Julian, just him and me, at that point in his life. And he was so engaging. And so for me, it was a really neat comparison. I thought about writing about this last night, but I went with another angle. He's a man. He's grown up. He's thick. He looks like he's 28. He says the right things. He believes the right things. He's been through a lot of good, but a lot of injury challenges. I mean, it was over 5 years ago where I had that face to face. He's a different person. And I think all the pluses and minuses that he's been through, I think he is going to be a great, and we hear it from everybody, including James. He's a great locker room guy. He's a wise old head. It's hard not to root for him knowing everything he's been through and how he looks at things.
All right. Did he get into the two primary quarterbacks at all, Drew Aller and Bo Prabula, and did he give you any impressions of them from his perspective?
Not the mechanics of it. I mean, he was late in the session. There was a follow up about Bo, and his face lit up. So that told me a lot that he enjoys what Bo may bring to the table. But when he was asked about Drew, he didn't talk about Drew, the quarterback. He talked about Drew, the person. about the locker room, about the weight room, about getting to know each other. And I think he's understood and will bring to the table. And I think he'll be good for Drew that way, as far as not so much talking about the mechanics of the position and maybe the X's and O's, but also the relationship and also the mentorship. So the fact that when asked about the quarterbacks, those were his two reactions. He's excited by the potential that Bo sometimes brings, and he sees that he needs to have an important role off the field with Drew.
Defensively, you mentioned Devon Ellis. What was the read you got from him? And when you had an opportunity, I think it was Tim Allen was last week, what were your impressions with him?
You got to love Devon.
Yes.
And Devon is, you know, he's, and maybe I already used this and maybe overuse it, he is a glue guy for that defense. The guys believe in him. He's a super positive guy. And there was a point, I mean, he came through last year where you can be that type of person, but you have to perform on the field. Mm-hmm. With Tim Allen, in watching him in practice and watching him in that interview, and you see it, you're there all the time, the way he reacts with his whistle, he still did it last night. It looks, I had tweeted that out the last couple of practices, so I wasn't surprised when James brought it up. But it looks like he's having fun being a coach again. And certainly these days when you're a head coach, it's hard to be hands-on. I think, and you would be the guy to know this better than me, but I would say in the couple windows that we've had, he seems more comfortable being an on-the-field coach.
Yeah.
You can see that literally happening before your eyes.
Yeah, that's what I said to Jack. Jack Hamm and I were talking about this, and I said, you know what? I said, sometimes you get back to the expression these days is coaching ball. When you're the CEO and you're overseeing everything, okay, you're still coaching ball to a point, but you're also doing 100 other things. He's over there now. He's coordinating. He's back to talking about football, teaching football. And you can tell that he loves that and doesn't have to deal with the other stuff. And I think that's a big plus.
You're exactly right. One of my favorite sayings is, that guy's a football coach.
Yeah.
You know, come game day, he loves coaching. Or practice, he loves coaching. Like, Tim Allen is a football coach who's finally getting to coach again. I mean, he looks like he's from the 1960s and dresses that way. But, you know, there's that old school aspect, which is an interesting dichotomy. And I thought Manning was a fabulous teacher. But there's a dichotomy, and it's kind of interesting, is that James Conner mentioned this last night. You know, some of these guys, this is their third linebacker coach. This is their third coordinator.
Right.
The double-edged sword is one. And I remember a player explaining this to me one time. It's like someone new comes in and you have to show who you are all over again. That's one side. But the other side is I'm learning a new bag of tricks from someone. So there's that as well. So, you know, someone new coming in, there's pluses and minuses. And you have to, again, look at these guys as younger guys still learning the game and being taught the game by whether it's an Allen, a Diaz, or a Brett Pry.
Well, it's a fresh set of eyes, a fresh perspective. But there's another part, too. There's also, you have to, for either the coach coming in or the players, somebody's got to give on the language part. Like, what's the terminology? How do we do this? How do we, you know, and the language part is always an interesting part as to what, you know, how much of it still sounds the same from before in terms of how a play is called and how much is it different where everybody's got to learn.
No, I think you're right. And I think James has made the right decision on both sides of the ball of having Coach Elnicki and Allen adjust to the nomenclature mm-hmm. that the players already No. Let's say that they've been speaking Spanish the last 3 years. It's the same words. But if someone comes in and tries to get them to speak French, they have to learn the language and then what the words mean. So now coming in, Kopelnicki and Allen, they're going to learn how to speak Spanish so the players can react more quickly to the concepts rather than the words.
The blue-white game will be coming up on the 13th. No jobs are won. It has nothing to do with that. So at least going in, and what we see may change what you write about later, but going in, do you have some ideas of what you're looking for to see if they come to fruition or not?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think you're looking for cohesion on the offensive line. The receivers, there's not much new there. The backs, you've already got that figured out. But can these guys with the relationships function as a unit? And then I think you're also looking the same thing with the linebacking core, because essentially, other than even though Rojas played a lot last year, you know, Kobe's really the only one. DeLuca's going to be full time, and the adjustment of Carter there. So, you know, it's always the front line. But I think in this sense, because of it's Penn State, you know, looking how the linebacking core can function as a unit as well. Cohesion, I think that's the word.
Also, down the road, how interested are you by what when they finally get to showing the renderings of what Beaver Stadium could look like?
Wow. I didn't see that one coming. That's a great question. I they're going to do a lot with the guts and the infrastructure and the concourses and the restrooms. I'm kind of interested. We saw them, I think it was in 17, with Phil Eston and Sandy Barber. We saw, you know, some brick facade and walkways. But I'm curious, and I guess it's going to be more populous and Radisic's point of view, of what the facade looks like.
Yeah.
I mean, kind of, you know, aesthetically, where is it going to end up? Because we know all the guts are going to be done, and we know there's going to be a ton of new suites on the west side. But, you know, the shiny castle on the hill, what's that going to look like?
Right. No, it's interesting times, without question. Now the 12-team playoff. What were your thoughts when they decided to go to 12, and what are your thoughts about the possibility that when the new contract comes up in 26 that it goes to 14?
Oh, I think it'll go to 14. No doubt about it. And you know this. You know, it's funny when I talk to you because you know everything I'm going to say. but no one in college football since 2014 would have benefited from a 12-team playoff more than Penn State. I think it would have been 5 times, Steve.
Yeah.
Is that
yep.
right?
Yes.
So even at this point, 10-2 gets you in. Maybe 9-3, but I think you can certainly see your way to a 10-2 this year. So I think out of almost anybody, you know, Penn State is in one of the best positions for this change, and they've been working on it. I mean, they're ready for a December game in Beaver Stadium almost now. It may not be super pretty, but internally, you know, they've been working on those things.
Okay, and that'll be something that'll be interesting down the road. Now let's get to the Big Ten. You talked about teaching. You do not teach your children through sports. There are going to be 18 teams in the Big Ten, and the Dallas Cowboys are in the NFC East. All right, so. all right.
That's good.
All right, but what do you see, pro and con, of an 18-school Big Ten, and not just in football, but in almost in every sport?
Well, I'm going to answer this on a little bit larger scale.
Yeah, go ahead.
You certainly remember the College Football Association, 64 teams
yep.
in the late 70s and the 80s, mm-hmm. which really took off thanks to the Supreme Court ruling in 1984.
Yep.
I mean, we're almost on the cusp of a recreation of the CFA. Okay. It would not be surprised if college football at the biggest levels become the separate subdivision, and maybe not tomorrow, maybe not in 2 or 4 years, but you'll get back to more regionalism, not of football and not of basketball. But I think a lot of the other sports, you're going to get back to some more of the regionalism. Mm-hmm. You're going to see that's going to, it's going to be restructured and contract that way. There's going to be big time college football, and then you're going to go back. The other sports are going to go back in more of geographical regions, because the dollars and cents of it, they're spending tens of millions of dollars now to facilitate these artificial conferences that were necessitated by the dollars of big time college football contracts.
Really interesting answer, and I agree with that. I mean, I felt when the Big Ten was in divisions for football, they should have gone divisions in the other sports too, right? And I'm talking about the quote non-revenue producing, like, you know, plus minus sports. But the coaches never wanted to do it because they didn't want to be seem like they were lesser. That's why they didn't do it. All right.
No,
yeah, go ahead, Mike.
I hear you.
Yeah, Mike, an absolute pleasure as always. Really enjoyed it, and always great to see you, my friend.
Thanks, Professor Jones. Talk to you soon.
Thanks, Mike. The outstanding Mike Portman, StateCollege.com. Great to have him back on the show. Get his perspective. It's always great to hear from Mike and hear what he has to say and what he's picked up along the way. For Penn State football, practice 11 is tomorrow. Again, they have not been in the stadium yet. And with the weather conditions this week, there's no way. I mean, now next week, hopefully they can get into the stadium, because next week looks a lot better. But they haven't been there yet. At some point, you have to get some of the younger players that haven't done this in the stadium just to get there. Because next week they'll go Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, with Friday being what they call Fast Friday, leading into a game. James will be on the coach's show on Wednesday night. It's Wednesday night next week. In fact, we're going to flip it, and then we have quarterback club on Thursday. Yeah, it'll be a little bit different scheduled next week with that stuff, but that's fine. And then, of course, the blue-white game, and we'll get going at 1:45, and they'll probably end it at 4 o'clock. And this half hour of the show brought to you by Brewers Outlet. Stock up for Final Four weekend. You've got two games tonight, two games tomorrow. Should be a lot of fun. Imports, domestics, microbrews, the best selection of beer anywhere. Wine coolers, water, soft drinks, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. Pickle bar led by the barrels and the dills. Indeed, second to none. Stock up now at Brewers Outlet. Two games tonight and two tomorrow. And should be a lot of fun. From the Sunbury Motor Studio, great to have you with us all week long here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.